On January 8th, 2004, Ricky Rodriguez invited a woman named Smith over for dinner and murdered her. But before we get into any further details, hello and welcome to the Murder House Radio Show. I'm your host, X. On this show, we will be covering serial killers, killers, disappearances, true crime, and the most deplorable things and people in history. Uploads will take place every Friday at 4:30 Mountain Standard Time. Please hit the like and subscribe button, and hit the bell notification to get all notifications, and hit the follow button if you are listening on a podcasting platform. With all that out of the way, sit back, grab some coffee or whatever your preferred beverage is, turn down the lights, and enjoy the show. Ricky was born David Moses Zerbe on January 25, 1975, to Karen Zerbe, his mother, the leader of a cult, Children of God. His father was a Spanish hotel waiter named Carlos, whom Karen had flirtfished him. Flirtfishing is where cult members, usually women, sleep with men to try to get them into the cult. Ricky was born in Spain. Karen and David Berg, her husband, were leaders in the cult called The Family. The name was changed from the Children of God. David and Karen spent their time traveling the world looking to conform new members. David took interest in Ricky because he believed Ricky would be called upon to become a prophet during biblical end times. Ricky was later unofficially adopted by David. Ricky's legal name was changed multiple times as he traveled across the world with Burge and Zerbe as missionaries. No official adoption by the two ever took place, and he was cared for by nannies, young female members of the cult. He was also raised alongside Tishy, Zerbe's daughter. On May 2nd, 1978, Burge declared in a publication that Rodriguez and Zerbe would one day be the power to call down fire from heaven and devour their enemies. He also predicted they would both be killed and raised from the dead 3.5 days later, and Rodriguez would go on to guide the followers as a prophet during the biblical end times. Many who knew Rodriguez said he grew up shy and uncomfortable around the group members because his status as a supposed prophet. During Ricky's childhood, he was sadly and unfortunately sexually abused. While growing up in the cult, Rodriguez was frequently exposed to adults engaging in intercourse at Burge's home as part of group members' sexual sharing. When Ricky was 10 months old, Zerbe and Burge asked Sarah, one of Ricky's nannies, to start creating a document titled the DeVito Book, which was also referred to as the Story of DeVito. The book contained descriptions of sexual interactions between Ricky and adults. This started when he was 10 months old. Most of these entries were sent out to members in the form of pamphlets called DeVito's Letters. The DeVito book was 765 pages long, which also included naked pictures of Ricky and teenage girls during orgies. One of Ricky's nannies, Angelina M., was present in these pictures, in one of which she is seen undoing his pants, and the picture is captioned, "Undressing for Sue." Out of all the cases I've covered, I don't think I've covered a case where the abuse is documented, per se. It's definitely a first. A man named Davida Kelly, who lived with Berg from the age of 13, said Rodriguez was sexually abused by pretty much all the adult women, including his mother, Zerbe. According to an article by the LA Times, Berg reportedly had sex with numerous female members of the group in an effort to prepare Rodriguez to do the same when he became the leader. He was put into a teen training, in air quotes, in which he would have sex with multiple older teenage females every afternoon. In 1986, the cult, which was now called The Family, banned sex with minors and adults, which should have been a thing from day one, but, you know, cults. Along with flirty fishing. Burge died in 1994. After this, Zerbe, alongside her then-husband, Peter Amsterdam, took full leadership of the cult. In 1996, at 21 years old, Rodriguez moved to a family-owned home in Budapest, Hungary, where he met his girlfriend, Alexia, who returned with him to Zerbe's home in Porto, Portugal, and lived with him there. When they first met in Budapest, Rodriguez had begun having reservations about the cult's teachings, which noticeably contradicted the Bible, and expressed his frustrations to her about the group as a whole. She said he heard stories from former members and carried guilt because of his position as a future leader of the cult, which he felt contributed to the abuse of children. In 2002, Rodriguez made a post on the website Moving On, accusing Burge of abusing his own daughters and granddaughter in the Philippines, and describing Zerbe as a pathetic and violent towards her children. He also mentioned his teen training in most of his posts on this site. In a similar post in 2004, he said he realized he could not move on because the first 25 years of his life will always haunt him. With the end of his post asking those who have nothing to lose, such as myself, to help him with a plot for revenge. Rodriguez further told his martial arts teacher, Kevin Schmidt, he had considered murdering members of the family in the past. Rodriguez's friend, also ex-member Daniel Nathan Roselle, advised taking legal action, but he was mostly concerned with finding Zerbe and Amsterdam. Zerbe and other family members had their locations isolated and their names kept secret with pseudonyms. Rodriguez spent years trying to find Zerbe and his half-sister Tishi, whom he wanted to take out of the family. In the summer of 2004, Rodriguez left his girlfriend. Later, they both separated, but according to her, his girlfriend, they continued to talk every day. On January 7th of that year, Rodriguez recorded a videotape in which he discussed his thoughts of suicide and his desire for revenge, describing himself as a vigilante. He presented numerous weapons, including a Glock 23 pistol, a K-bar knife, a drill, and a soldering iron, and duct tape, some of which he planned to use for torture. Rodriguez specifically named Zerbe as his target, stating that if he did not find her before he died, he will keep hunting her in the next life, or someone else will pick up the torch. Honestly, if I had a huge grudge like this against somebody, and I died, I'm haunting their ass too. It'd just be like that. Rodriguez hinted to Smith as a person he intended to kill as well, and predicted his upcoming actions would result in conflict with law enforcement, but insisted he intended no harm towards police. After recording this video, Rodriguez contacted his friend, Celeste Jones, and told her of his suicidal thoughts. She encouraged him to testify in a legal case and said things will be taken seriously. He replied that he did not believe her. Rodriguez sent copies of the video to his ex-girlfriend, two of his family members, and a man named Martin. The next day, Rodriguez invited Smith to dinner in his apartment. After she arrived, Rodriguez stabbed her several times in the arm and then slit her throat. Rodriguez then left his apartment and drove to Bethel, California, where he arrived at midnight. He rented a motel room and called his family members in Lakewood, Washington, notifying them of the body in his apartment. Next, Rodriguez pulled into a parking lot near 14th Avenue, called his ex-girlfriend and told her he had killed Smith and asked her to call the police. He also told his ex he had killed Smith to avenge his sister Tishy and all those still in the family rather than himself. He said Smith didn't understand what she had done wrong as she was dying, so she was brainwashed. Lots of cult members are sadly brainwashed till the end, which is very sad. Rodriguez called the murder the hardest thing I've ever done in my life and said it did not make him feel better, which I hear a lot. Like, cases like this were vengeful murders. The murders never seem to make the killer feel any better. Do you think it would make you feel better? Let me know. Would I feel better? I'm not too sure. Like, every person's different. Every person is definitely different. Rodriguez His ex-girlfriend claimed that Rodriguez pled with her to commit suicide with him, then said goodbye to her and hung up. At roughly 2 a.m., Rodriguez shot himself in the head with his gun. This was definitely an interesting case. I think I came across it on Reddit. It's definitely interesting. What do you guys think? But, I'd like to apologize if this one was all over the place. I just got, a new computer to, research these videos with. I'm not used to compiling, the information on the computer just yet, so you'll just have to bear with me. But I will, definitely get better at it, and the next video will 100% be better. 100%. But thank you for sticking around. This was the case of Ricky Rodriguez. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Murder House Radio Show. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share for more if you are viewing on YouTube. Leave recommendations for future episodes in the comments. Don't forget to hit the bell notification to get all notifications. If you are listening on a podcasting platform, hit follow, and it doesn't hurt to give a 5-star review. I hope you have a good rest of your day. This is your host X, signing off.